This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A few case studies and examples of people who prayed with khushu'. You will notice that these examples, by the way, are from the past, but I promise you there are many people who pray with khushu'. In this masjid, I won't say in our times today, somewhere in Mecca or Medina, in our times today, in our city, Cardiff, and in this particular masjid as well. You don't have to look far to find them. Today I was praying next to one or two of them, mashallah, in the masjid, and it made me really belittle myself when you see their, at least their outward levels of khushu'. Allahu Akbar, this ummah produces khair, and there is good in it till the day of judgment. I share with you a few examples of people who prayed with khushu', just to humanize it, and let us put the theory aside for just a moment. Whose salah was defined by greater khushu' than the salah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nobody ever recognized his Lord more than our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. Nobody glorified Allah greater than he did. Look at him as he prayed. Our mother Aisha, she said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا صَلَّى طَأْطَأَ رَأْسَهُ وَرَمَى بِبَصَرِهِ نَحْوَ الْأَرْضِ. She said, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would pray, he would lower his head and he would fixate his eyes on the ground. A humble slave of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And she said, قام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بآية من القرآن ليلة. She said, on one night, I remember that he spent the entire night in salah reciting only one ayah over and over again. One ayah over and over again from after Salatul Isha until the Fajr. She didn't mention which ayah it was from the Quran. However, in another hadith, which An-Nasa'i narrates, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was sharing with his companions, his students, this same narration. And they said to him, which ayah of the Qur'an was it? And he said to them, it's the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah said, quoting who? Prophet Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus, who will disown the people who worshipped him besides Allah on the Day of Judgment. And Isa will say to Allah, إِن تُعَذِّبُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكُ. If you choose to punish them, O Allah, then they are your slaves. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are the mighty and you are the wise. So our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is remembering these words. And he is repeating the words of Isa, hoping that you and I will be forgiven and Allah will have mercy upon us, subhanallah al-azim, out of his shafaqah, his compassion towards us. So this is his khushu' in salah. And another companion by the name of Abdullah ibn Shikhir, he said, رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ يُصَلِّي. I saw the Prophet once when he was praying. وَلِجَوْفِهِ أَزِيزٌ كَأَزِيزِ الْمِرْجَلِ مِنَ الْبُكَاءِ. And I noticed that his chest was making sounds like the boiling pot, a kettle that was boiling, a pot that was boiling because of his intense weeping in salah. Allahu Akbar. And as for the khushu' of Tamim ibn Aus al-Dari, this is another companion who was an ex-Christian. He was the companion who famously saw the Dajjal during one of his trips and his friends before he became a Muslim. And Tamim was a diligent worshipper of Allah, and his salah was one of khushu'. And Tamim, he spent the entire night once in one salah, reciting only one ayah from the Quran and repeating it over and over again. What is the ayah? It is where Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Where Allah says, do those who commit sins think that we're going to make them like those who believe and they do good deeds, the same during their life and the same during their death? سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. How ill is their judgment. They are not the same. And he is repeating this in salah over and over again, not feeling the pain of throbbing feet. Why? Because of khushu' in salah. And you have Al-Husayn, son of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And there was a condition that would affect him every time he would do wudu. They would notice the color of his skin would change. He would turn pale. And they would say to him, how come this happens to you every time you do wudu? And he would simply say to them, تَعْرِفُونَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ مَنْ أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَقُومُ. Don't you know who it is that I'm about to stand before? Subhanallah. Don't you know who it is that I am preparing my salah for? That is Allah. It affect their blood circulation as well. La ilaha illallah. Khushu'ah. And as for Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the great young Sahabi, there was a man by the name of Yahya ibn Wathab who saw Abdullah ibn Zubayr praying. And he said when he would prostrate in the haram, when he would prostrate, birds would fall and they would stand on his shoulders during the prayer. Birds would sit on his back. Why? They were thinking he's a trunk of tree. Or he's a block or a boulder of some sort, an inanimate object. Because of what the khushu' and one of the meanings we said is what? Stillness, sukoon, stillness. La ilaha illallah. And another one, he is a tabi'i by the name of Thabit al-Bunani. He said, Wallahi inni la'adkhulu fi salati fa'ahmilu hamma khuruji minha. He said, Wallahi, I begin my prayer and instantly I am struck by a major concern, the thought of having to end the salah. Subhanallah. The thought of having to end the salah. What carries a person to enjoy the salah in this way? That vehicle is called khushu'ah. There is no other vehicle. And there is an amazing narration, I think, again, some of you will hear it for the first time, which Ahmad narrates on the authority of Jabir. And some scholars have said it has a hasan sound chain of transmission. The Prophet ﷺ was traveling with his companions in an expedition in a battle called Ghazwatu Dhatir Riqa'. And they were camping in the evening. And the Prophet ﷺ said to his men that we need some of you to stand on guard during the night, lest an enemy should come and infiltrate our ranks and harm us. So two men volunteered. One man from the Muhajirun, the immigrants, and another from the Ansar, the helpers. The immigrant, of course, was Ammar ibn Yasir. And the Ansari was a man called Abbad ibn Bishr. Abbad ibn Bishr. So everyone fell asleep, and Ammar, he says to Abbad, we need to split the night between us, so I will take half and you take the other half. Which half of the night would you like? Abbad said, let me take the first half of the night, then I will wake you up and you take the second half of the night, to guard the Muslims during their sleep. So Ammar fell asleep, and Abbad, he noticed how it was a calm night. It was still, there's tranquility and peace, and he's alone. The same seclusion that a lot of people will use it as an opportunity to trespass under the limits of Allah and commit a sin, the Sahaba would see it as an opportunity to worship Allah and draw near to Him. Ya Allah, I am alone, and no one can see me in this night. It's a perfect opportunity to pray with no distractions, Ya Salam. And so he turns to the Qibla, and he says, Allahu Akbar, and he begins Salah. And he is reciting Surah Al-Kahf. Lo and behold, there was a man who came and he saw the Muslims camping, and he was one of the pagans, and his wife had been injured in one of the skirmishes with the Muslims. And he had taken an oath that he will not return from his journey until he spills Muslim blood. And so he sees the Muslims camping and a man who was standing. But it looks like a shadow. It's still, it's not moving. And so he takes out an arrow from his quiver, places it in his bow, and he pulls the string, and he launches the arrow, and it lands in the body of Abbad. Abbad does something bizarre. He pulls out the arrow and places it on the floor, and he continues his salah. And now he's bleeding. Now the man, he's thinking, did I hit him? Did I not hit him? Because whatever it is, it hasn't moved. And so he takes out a second arrow from his quiver and puts it in his bow. And he pulls the string and he releases the arrow. It hits Abbad, subhanallah. It pierces his body. And so he somehow takes out the arrow and he places it next to him and he continues his salah. Amazing. And then the pagan, he is still unsure about what to do here, and so he takes out a third arrow. And he launches it, and it hits Abbad in his body. And so he pulls it out of his body, and now he realizes that he's about to lose his life. And so he falls into bowing and prostration, and he ends his salah. And then he wakes up Ammar. He said, Ammar, I've been struck. And Ammar, he looks at the body of Abbad. It's like a red idol. Just drenched from blood from head to toe. He's really injured badly. He said to him, may Allah forgive you. Why didn't you wake me up from the first arrow? I see three. And then here's the response. That could only be uttered by a man or a woman who carries out salah in a state of khushu'. Abbad ibn Bishr, he said, I was reciting a surah from the Quran and I really did not want to interrupt it. And then he says, Waymullah, I swear by my Lord, Lawla anni udayyu thagran amarani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bihifdhihi laqata'a nafsi qabla an aqta'aha aw unfidaha. He said, and I swear by Allah, if it wasn't for the fear of failing in a task that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had entrusted me with, I would have stayed in my place till I die instead of interrupting my recitation during salah. That's the only thing. I was just worried about letting you guys down. Otherwise, my soul is cheap in the path of Allah. The salah is a salah of khushu'ah. And look at what it does for people. So these are examples of people whom you could see them when they are praying. Their physical presence is there. Their emblems, their bodies, it's there. But their ruh, their souls are up out of this universe. It's transcended everything that you know. And they are circumambulating around the throne of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu above the seventh heaven. Worshipping Allah, calling upon Allah, feeling that nearness and warmth to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, where they have disconnected momentarily from everything that you and I call life. This is khushu'. See, brothers and sisters, there's a very important point here. A lot of us, we read that salah prevents people from sin and obscenities. Have you not read that in the Quran where Allah said, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar? Salah actively prevents a person from obscenities and sin. Salah prevents you from sin. And then some people, they say, I don't feel that really. I mean, I've been praying, someone will say, for a very long time, but my habits are habits, sins are sins. Social media, how I present myself hasn't changed. Hijablessness is a hijablessness. Relationships, astaghfirullah, pornography, maybe drugs or smoking, haram money. It hasn't changed, but I pray. So what are you trying to say? There's really one of two conclusions. The first of them is impossible, however. But there's two logical ways of looking at this. Either the Quran has told a lie, astaghfirullah. Either the salah does not prevent a person from sin, as the Quran has promised. Or either, we are yet to carry out the type of salah that prevents people from sin. Which of the two must it be? It has to be the second one, the latter one. Because Allah does not speak a lie. Therefore, if I am praying, and I'm not seeing an effect of it in my life, it's not causing me to grow, it's not changing my habits, then there is nothing wrong with the salah. There is something wrong with my version of salah. It is devoid of khushu'ah. And that is why I'm not enjoying it. And that is why it's not causing me to grow and transforming me. That's why I'm seeing no change. See, when you complain, we go back to the introduction. When you and I complain that I don't enjoy salah, it's boring, it's repetitive, you and I don't actually have a problem with the salah itself. We have a problem with what our salah has become. If you and I had felt that yearning, that nearness to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, when we worship Him in salah, you wouldn't say that. But what we dislike is what our salah has become. And yes, a salah without khushu' is burden. It's a burden. It's a headache. It's hardship. And that is why Allah said, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Salah is a burden, Allah said, except upon those who pray with khushu'. So, how much your salah gives you depends entirely on how much you give your salah. How much your salah will transform you, my dear brother, my dear sister, depends on the effort that you invest in transforming your salah. How much your salah will purify you and change you depends entirely on how much you actively play a role in purifying your salah from distraction, half-heartedness, and laziness, and absent-mindedness. Then the salah will cause us to grow. And that is a salah with khushu'ah. How do we attain khushu'ah? What are the detractors of khushu'ah? Why does khushu'ah leave us so frequently? Why is it so difficult apparently to attain? These are some of the questions that we want to address inshallah in this holistic salah rehabilitating program. This is not a lecture series. I really believe this is a rehabilitation program for our salah. And that's how we should approach it. Let us conclude with this. We want to address a very common misconception when it comes to the topic of khushu'ah. That misconception says that khushu'ah is about focus during salah. Some of you said that. It's not entirely wrong, but we should not limit our understanding of khushu'ah as being focus during salah. That's just entry-level khushu'ah. That's the very first layer, whereby you keep your mind focused, riveted on your salah, and you centralize the salah such that if you're thinking about work or friends or family or business, right, you bring it back to the salah. Some people think this is the aspiration, that's the goal to achieve. This is peak khushu'ah. That's entry-level khushu'ah, to keep your mind focused on salah. It's a great aspiration, but that's just the beginning. There's many other levels and meanings and values and depths and layers to work towards. We're going to add these layers, inshallah, as we go through the weeks. But first, realize that keeping your mind focused on the salah and bringing it back when it takes left and right turns, that's just the beginning of your understanding of khushu'ah. And don't give up. Don't fall into despair. Don't say to yourself, oh my goodness, if that is entry-level khushu'ah and I'm struggling with that, I have no hope in applying and learning about the other layers and experiencing in my life. No, you don't give up. Don't have a defeatist or fatalistic mentality. No, there's no need for that. You're able to pray with khushu'ah if you want it. You can say, I don't want to pray with khushu'ah. That would make more sense than saying, I can't pray with khushu'ah. You can. It's a choice. And what's the evidence? The evidence is how you and I behaved when we went inside an examination theater. GCSEs, A-levels, whatever it may be. Have you ever come across someone who comes out of the examination theater after an hour or two of exam, and then he goes, how was the paper? He goes, oh my goodness, I left it blank entirely. I didn't even write my name. How come? I lost focus. No one says that. No one says that. You are laser focused during your exam, meaning you can focus if you want to. Similarly, if you're watching a captivating film in the cinema, at home, Netflix, whatever it may be, even if it's 2 or 3 hours long, and it's gripping, you will not lose focus. And that's why you see people running to the bathroom when the film finishes. Why? Because they were so focused, they didn't realize they needed the bathroom. So that is proof that you and I are able to focus if we wanted to focus. So it's impossible, it's inconceivable that Allah will instruct you to pray a salah with khushu'ah, but He knows that you can't do it. No, you can, we can. So entry level khushu'ah is what? Is what, my dear brothers? Is? It's to focus. Let's add another layer and we will conclude with this. The second layer of khushu'ah is, what do you think you'll be actually? What would be the second layer? What would come logically after focus? What would help you focus? Okay, to imagine paradise. Yeah, Ahsant. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, that links in with what I want to say, really. Anything else? Interest. Okay, but to be interested, what do you have to do? You have to envision. Envision. How do you envision something? What do you need to envision something? You need to understand. You need to understand. Isn't it? Some people may be able to be focused in salah. I'm praying. And you're focused on your salah. But you don't understand anything that's going on. So a lot of brothers, they will say, "Ya akhi, I don't enjoy my salah. I think I'm a sinful person." Sometimes it's not about sins. Sometimes it's not because you are a bad person that we're not focusing in salah. Simply because we don't understand what we're saying. Don't understand it. Allah is Ar-Rahman and He is Ar-Rahim. You say in your Quran, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. What's the difference between the two? Why is it that you do ruku', bowing once, but we prostrate twice? How come? What does this mean when you are in a state of tashahud? Speaking of tashahud, what does it mean when you say At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat? What does that mean? Why do we send salutations upon Ibrahim alayhi salam along with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How come? When you begin your salah, what does it mean that you raise your hands and then you place the right over the left somewhere on your torso? What does this posture mean? Why are you doing it? Why Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in bowing? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in prostration? How come? All of these things have wisdoms. Hikam, understand them. See, we're not the only things that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this universe. Allah said, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ The seven heavens and the earth and everything between them. Do tasbih of Allah, glorify Him. وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ And everything in creation glorifies the praise of Allah, but you simply don't understand their glorification. Everything worships Allah and does salah for Him. كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ Allah said, everything knows its salah and its tasbih. Allah said, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Don't you see how everything in the heavens and the earth prostrates to Allah? وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ And so does the sun and the moon. وَالنُّجُومُ وَالْجِبَالُ And so do the stars and the mountains. وَالشَّجَرُ وَالدَّوَابُ And the trees and the moving creatures. وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ And so do many people. Everything prostrates to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Ah, okay, so bearing that in mind, what makes your prostration different to their prostration? What makes your tasbih different to their tasbih? It's the understanding. So praying salah with attentiveness with that first layer is great. There's another layer, which is to understand what you are doing. And that will be part of our program, inshallah. We will take salah bit by bit, piece by piece, and understand what we are saying, understand what we are doing. And that will take your salah to a higher dimension of khushu'. But then there is a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth layer, inshallah. And notice, all of these layers we are speaking about, it's before the salah. SubhanAllah, there is so much to learn, so much to digest, so much to appreciate. All of these layers are still before we say Allahu Akbar and begin the salah. Subhanallah. So let us continue our journey bi-idhnillahi ta'ala next week. We will stop there. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.